Blog Talk Radio.
Joshua called 12 men to come wade in the water with me. They wrestled out 12 big old stones, a memorial to be. Well, one by one they stacked them stones before God's people's eyes, just to be a landmark on the shore after all of them died. After all of them died. It's Thursday, and we are back on the Old Paths broadcast. This is Pastor Jason Cooley, and Pastor Brandon Teague will be joining us a little bit later here. And, you know, we've had some technical difficulties, so we're on about an hour later, but won't matter to you who are listening to the archives, but you that were waiting live, we apologize for that. That's they had some technical difficulties there that just took a little bit of time to get fixed and worked out, but we got it straightened out, and just on our quest here to bring the truth to folks in a world that does not like the truth, never has, by the way. Jesus Christ is the truth, and they killed him for it, but he rose from the dead, and that's why we're all here. That's why we talk about what we do, because Jesus Christ defeated death. Amen. Well, listen, the weather here has been really interesting. Actually, it was about 40 degrees, but it rained. And then it started heavy snowing. Weird stuff. And then on Sunday, it's supposed to be 63 to 64 degrees on Sunday. I find that weird, isn't it? You got snow one second, the next it's going to be 65 degrees. Oh, welcome to Minnesota. That's the way it is here. And we don't get any breaks until about May, and sometimes it snows even then. So we've seen it snow May 1st. I remember shoveling the driveway last year. I'm hoping that doesn't take place this year, but we're really excited about just having some warmer weather so we're not freezing. However, it's been kind of cold this week. We had some temperatures dip down. I just also want to praise the Lord for his provision for us. Our furnace motor was acting up, and I had somebody come out and take a look at it and at our home, and you know, God provided the funds for that to get some things fixed. And even more than that, you know, as we're trying to get our CD ministry started and a few other things like that. And the Lord has just provided for us and continues to use his people out there to provide for us. And that's the ministry of Old Paths Baptist Church in Northfield, Minnesota. But we have a sermon audio page that we list a bunch of sermons on. We list hundreds of sermons. But you know, it's a blessing to be able to do that. But also there's other people that can't download our sermons that we want to get them to. So, and we want to give those for free. We don't want to charge for the Lord's, what the Lord has given us. Even, you know, so all we do is take a donation for that stuff, and that's all that we're going to do for that. And that's why anyway, I just want to praise the Lord for what he's done there and how he's taken care of us. And, you know, God's not a respecter of persons. If you're his child, he will care for you. He will meet your needs. And I'm sure that there are plenty of other men that can testify to the goodness and the grace of God and mercy of God and how he has provided for us. But right now, it's time for our favorite, one of our favorite times of the show here. Brother Lonnie, what time is it?
Wake up!
Let's see, Wally might be sleeping out there, so one more time.
Wake up!
There we go. Now we woke Brother Wally up, and I'm sure he's already awake and listening, but I got to give him a hard time. Appreciate Brother Lonnie out there faithfully listening all the time, and he's a blessing to us. Look forward to meeting that brother here sometime and spending some time with him. Who knows when the Lord will bring me down that way where he's at. We'll see. By the grace of God, we'll see. All right. Well, listen, there's just some things going on in our world right now. Very interesting, to say the least. And we see these things that are coming. Wow. I mean, I just heard about this the other day, and it was just quite sad. It just broke my heart to hear that. It's heartbreaking. One of the things that has happened, that has taken place, aborted babies incinerated to heat the UK hospitals. I don't know if you've seen anything on this, but, I mean, it's just absolutely disgusting. I mean, America's no better, but good night. Aborted babies incinerated to heat the UK hospitals. The remains of more than 15,000 babies were incinerated as clinical waste by hospitals in Britain, with some used in waste-to-energy plants. Do you understand how absolutely disgusting that is? I'll tell you, it's nothing more than a sacrifice to Mother Earth. It's nothing more than a sacrifice to Satan, is all that is. There's no such thing as Mother Earth. That's all satanic. That's all actually Luciferian-type worship and, Wicca-type worship and things like that. I mean, there's just a lot of different names for it, but that's really what it is. That's all that it is. And, you know, very sad. Extremely sad what we're looking at right now, what we're seeing in our world. But can you imagine that? Can you just imagine that for a second, how sick and disgusting that is? That's at the telegraph.co.uk health news, aborted babies. You can find that there. Boy, I mean, what is it? How far away is the judgment of God upon all this garbage? The bodies of thousands of aborted and miscarried babies were incinerated as clinical waste, with some even used to heat hospitals, as investigations have found. 10 NHS trusts have admitted burning fetal remains alongside other rubbish, while others use the bodies in waste-to-energy plants, which generate power for heat. This is disgusting. This is absolutely sick. One of the country's leading hospitals, Addenbrooke's in Cambridge, incinerated 797 babies below 13 weeks gestation at their own waste-to-energy plant. The mothers were told the remains had been cremated. Another waste-to-energy facility at Ipswich Hospital, operated by a private contractor, incinerated 1,101 fetal remains between 2011 and 2013. Oh. You know, it's terrible. It's terrible. It's downright disgusting. It stinks in the nostrils of God. And God, this is over in the UK, but God is gonna punish this world for this wickedness. He's gonna punish it. It's sad. Obamacare partners with Planned Parenthood to violate his promise of no taxpayer-funded abortions. That's the next thing that's taking place. If you go nowtheendbegins.com at a blog there, Obamacare partners with Planned Parenthood to violate his promise of no taxpayer-funded abortions. I mean, Obama's many other lies regarding his Obamacare. If you like your plan, you can keep it. You know, I heard a story recently of a man that tried to keep his own plan. They raised it for his family to $1,885 a month. Now, he knows good and well that no one can afford that. These people are awful. They're wicked to do what they've done. He says, I will not sign a plan that adds one dime to our deficit. Well, that was a lie. I can make a firm pledge under my plan, no family making less than $250,000 a year will see any form of tax increase. Not your income tax, not your payroll tax, not your capital gains tax, not any of your taxes. Well, he lied. And, you know, the real sad part is, folks, is that nobody really cares that this man lied. That's the really weird part. But Bush did too. Bush lied too. They all have a track record of lying. But does it strike you as terribly sad that this is where people are? It is. It's terrible. You know, it's absolutely disgusting. You know, how about this? The police execute a homeless man for camping. They execute a homeless man for camping. I watched the video. They were clearly out of line in what they did. They murdered that man. They murdered him. These police did. If you haven't seen the video, you can just type it in, homeless man, and you can see what happens. It's sad. It's terrible. But it's what's going on in our world today. We're in a police state, and it's getting worse. It's getting worse as time goes. What are we going to do about it? I don't know. You know, the answer is to return to the Lord, obviously, number one. The other answer, the answer is to return to a constitutional republic, but I don't believe it's going to happen. Not in this life. We need to wake up and understand these people are all on the same side. I mean, nobody has tried to stop President Obama for what he's done. Nobody has tried to stop. Congress has just given in every single time when they have the power of the purse string, but they don't use it. They just give it over to the executive branch because they're all on the same team. You see, if we thought that they were actually on separate teams, then it would not make sense to us. Why is this going on? But when you understand and you realize that these people are all on the same team, then it gets a lot easier. Then it becomes a lot easier then to you figure out why this all happens the way that it does. That's why. Figure it out. Makes sense. They're all working together. They're all working on the same side. They're all the same team. We need to wake up and realize that. Brother Lonnie posted the execution of that homeless man on the Faith Baptist Church Facebook page there, so you can see that there. Very sad stuff. Very sad stuff. Just terrible. How about the gun confiscation? What's going on with gun confiscation right now? A Connecticut Patriot group is fighting back. You can watch that video at YouTube.com. Go over to YouTube and type in. Connecticut Patriot Group fighting back, and you can see a video there of these folks are fighting back. They're doing what they can to fight back against this. Yeah. Hey, by the way, just to give you a warning here, don't go see the Noah film. It's Hollywood. It's rotten to the core. There's a bunch of garbage on it. It's a fake, phony movie. It's not about Noah, the Bible. It's not preaching the Bible message of what happened with Noah. It's not preaching that at all. What is it preaching? A bunch of heresy, if you really know the truth about it. It's preaching that Noah was some crazy psycho eco-friendly dude that wanted to see the earth flooded because man was destroying the earth, and his whole goal was this earthly worship. You see what they're trying to get you to do? They're trying to get you to concentrate on the earthly and not the spiritual message that was really there. What they want you to do is keep your eyes and keep your contact, keep your focus on this world. No, that's not the way God wants it. God wants you to concentrate on the heavenly message that's there, because there is a heavenly message that is there. There's a heavenly message, and that's that God destroyed the earth because of sin. God destroyed every living creature because of sin. That's why. And Noah was the only one that was found just. That was found just in the eyes of God. He was found righteous in the eyes of God. His seed was found righteous in the eyes of God. That's what. That's what the movie's supposed to be about. It's about God saving a man and his family because they honored him and he saved them. But what's it been turned into? A Hollywood movie about worshiping the earth, pretty much. That's what it's been turned into. Hollywood movie to worship the earth. I mean, you've got all these other stories and sidelines. If you can go online, and Ken Ham has written some things about why not to see this movie. Now, I did watch a movie, and it's not a King James. He doesn't use the King James, but I watched a video from Ray Comfort on Noah, the movie. It's a free one on YouTube. And besides the King James issue, I mean, that he's wrong about, clearly he doesn't use the King James Bible. Boy, he sure did have a good he did a good video. You know, I just can't recommend him because he doesn't use the King James Bible. But I will say this, that at least he's trying to combat that. He's trying to combat that false movie that's out there. You know, he just needs to get a King James Bible, and he'll be a lot better off. Amen. You can war with that wicked world out there when you and that wicked devil spirit when you got a King James Bible in your hand. You got the Word of God in your hand. And yes, we are strong on that book, and we hold that up because we understand the issue. Anyway, so there's just so many things going on right now. Again, that Son of God movie, don't watch that. It's just ridiculous. It's wicked. Don't go see that movie. I've preached on that. We did a show on that. So all you gotta do is just take a look and see what's going on with that. You can listen to our shows and everything on that. And it's really unbelievable. Unbelievable. The level of New Age. Brother Brian Moonen's got some things on that too as well. He has some good productions on those things as well. So you can take a look at those. And Brian Moonen, look him up on YouTube. And he did our Hollywood video that we did. He did a couple of those. He did a Hollywood and he done of Man of Steel, Man of Sin, which I thought was a blessing. And it's had a lot of hits on it. So folks have been able to see the truth about Hollywood and those things from that. And I rejoice in that. It's been a blessing to see that. All right. Is somebody on with me here?
Somebody's on.
All right, Pastor Brandon, how are you tonight?
I'm doing good, brother. Well, I say I'm doing good. I'm a little troubled, but got some things that are really, really weighing heavy on me tonight that I kind of wanted to talk about a little bit.
Amen.
Here in the Wake Up segment. And
sounds good.
Really strange things going on around here in our neck of the woods here in North Texas. Mm. But I happened to notice something in the that was in the national report. Did you happen to see that about Obama and meeting with the Pope today? I think it was today. I know this was posted today, and it says that signaling the end of centuries of hostilities, Pope Francis and United States President Barack Hussein Obama today signed a historic agreement in which each formally committed to future cooperation in bringing the two great religions together.
Mark, is that real? Is that a real?
Well, this is, brother. It's in the national report, America's number one independent news team. Now, whether that's real or not, that remains to be seen. But you know, as far as I can tell, it's real. But I want you to notice what it says here. Following a brief signing, the Pope was quoted as saying, "It brings infinite joy to my heart to realize that myself and His Holiness, President Obama, have been chosen by our gods to pursue this truly miraculous path, just as I have been chosen by my Christ. President Obama was chosen by Allah to lead His people in these challenging and difficult times of such strife."
Wow.
Now, whether that's real or not, I don't know, but everything looks real. I mean, there are ads for Liberty University online, and you know, there are different ads and things. It certainly looks like a real site to me. But if so, I mean, isn't that just isn't that just what was promised? These world religions coming together, creating one world religion. We're seeing these things happen before our eyes. And some things that I've talked about before here on the broadcast, some things that are going on around here locally with myself that have troubled me. I've talked before about the mayor of Paris, and I don't live in the city of Paris, Texas, but made no bones about it. That's where we broadcast from, and that's where our church building is located, the place where we meet and worship the Lord. And so I have an interest in this. And the mayor of Paris, Texas, is a Pakistani-born heart doctor. And his last name is Hashmi. I'm trying to remember what his actual first name is. But anyway, his last name is Hashmi. And he's a very, very wealthy man there. And he is also very, very good friends with the former dictator, president, what have you, Musharraf, or however you said it, of Pakistan. And they've shut the streets down in Paris just because that guy was coming through. The police force, you know, lined the streets, and you know, he had a big parade down the street when he came to get his heart checked out. And so anyway, he's had write-ups in the New York Times. He has had a write-up by Texas Monthly magazine. He was invited by Barack Obama to the meal before Ramadan, before the fast begins and the Islamic holiday, and he went and by special invitation to the White House and had that meal with Barack Obama. And he actually have a man in my church who's done some work in his home, some remodeling work for him, and he has a great number of servants that work there in his house for him, and they are paid by the government of Pakistan. And you know, it just keeps getting deeper and deeper. And then about a couple weeks ago, well, no, not a couple weeks ago, back in the end of January, he made a proclamation or a declaration that the week of January 24th was going to be known in Paris, Texas, and Lamar County as Asir Zadi Week. Now, Asir Zadi is like a documentary. Well, it would be the equivalent of 19 Kids and Counting in Pakistan, perhaps, but except that there's polygamy involved and things like that. So it was all centered around a television show, and he made a proclamation that in Lamar County and in Paris, Texas, that week be known as Asir Zadi Week. And, I mean, what has that got to do with an East Texas town? Absolutely nothing. But now it comes out. I got a phone call a couple of days ago from a woman that I know here in town, and a friend of hers is involved in city government, and she found out that there are plans in the works to build a multi-million-dollar mosque in the city of Paris, Texas. And they want to make Paris into a international hub for very important Muslims to come and worship. So my fears of what was to come here in our little neck of the woods is coming true, brother.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Sounds like
and,
it. When is that supposed to be built?
Well, you know, when I got that phone call from this woman, I thought to myself, you know, this may just be a wild rumor. So the very next thing I did is I got on the phone and I called a local pastor here, and it's somebody that you know, you've met, Brother Brad. And I asked him, I said, have you heard about this? He said, yes, sir, I heard about it about 2 weeks ago from a friend of mine. And he knew somebody who had laid carpet in a house that was being used as a mosque in Paris, Texas, for them to lay their rugs down and pray. So so he had found out about it, and it's being kept a secret from the people. There's nothing in the news, nothing in the media, being very hush-hush. They're wanting to enlarge our airport, and they're wanting to build a big development around a lake. And it's just, I've read up on this. That's what they do. They infiltrate. They get in city government. They bring business in. They overwhelm the white Christian leadership, quote unquote, and with all the prosperity, and then they bring the religion in and they take over.
Wow.
Well, I'm not sure. Is that what happened in Dearborn, Michigan? I mean, I have no idea. Maybe.
You know,
maybe,
I'm not really positive about that. That's something we'd have to ask Eric Frank, or we'd have to ask Brother David Ickes. I'm not sure about that. Now, I will say this. I mean, they definitely have the liberty to start, to start a mosque there if they want to under American law. I mean, we have they have freedom of religion, the right to assemble and all of those things. But I don't understand why they're trying to keep it a secret unless there's, you know, some other goal in mind.
Well, there would be some serious opposition to building that inside the city of Paris. I know there are a lot of people who would not want that.
Wouldn't there really? Because I can't see how. I mean, if they, why would they elect a Muslim then?
just absolutely out of ignorance, I guess. The word I've heard, and of course I'm not in the city politics. I live in the country. I don't pay much attention to it. But the word I've heard is that they were tired of the good old boy politics. You know, paying the brother, letting the brother-in-law get the contract, even though he's not equipped to do it, and that kind of thing.
Sure. Well, and Paris isn't even that big, is it?
That's about 30,000.
Is it really? I didn't even think it was that big.
Yeah, it's about 30,000. But see, we're the central point between Orlando, Florida, and Los Angeles, California. Disney even had talked about building a theme park somewhere nearby.
Well, that would be Disney coming there would be about as bad.
Oh, absolutely.
As Muslims there.
Well, then we'd have all the homosexuals rush in, and yeah, but. It's already bad enough as it is. Our little East Texas town is quickly getting out of hand. But anyway, just wanted to bring that out. Just ask for prayer because our little neck of the woods is turning into something that most people don't know. They don't know what they're getting. But we're going to be overrun very soon with the Muslim population.
I can't imagine why they'd want to live there.
Well, brother, I kind of like it around here.
Well, I mean, I don't understand why they... Well, no, I don't mean that. What I mean is what's their, you know,
strategically?
Yeah, like, what's the big deal about Paris, Texas? I mean, why there? Why not Austin? Why Paris?
Well, you bring up a good point. Because for about 100 miles every direction, there is nothing.
Yeah, I know.
There's
I know.
Tiny podunk towns in every direction for 100 miles, and Paris is the biggest thing, you know, in that entire region.
Is Paris the county seat?
It is.
Okay. Well, that makes sense then.
Right.
So they can buy up a bunch of land. They can buy up a bunch of land out there and have like. Hundreds of acres of land around there, somewhere around that area, and pretty much populate or control that entire area.
Yeah, dance around and cheat and flog themselves and shoot AK-47s in there.
Wow. Well, I guess we'll have to keep an eye on it and see what happens in the future here.
Well, our good friend Brother Wally, who's listening tonight, he's got one of those groups just across the woods from him, if I'm not mistaken.
You know, I'll tell you something. Let me tell you something else. It's funny that you say that. I've got somebody that comes to our church here that's a member of our church, and their family is surrounded by a Muslim group that, you know, they have some land out there, and yeah, they it's kind of weird. I don't know what's going on, but it's just kind of a strange situation. But I think the authorities have been out there checking around and. At different times and things like that. So they like to go in these rural areas too. And they have the liberty. Hey, I don't hate somebody because they're Muslim or think that they shouldn't be in America because they're Muslim. I don't feel that way. I mean, they have the liberty to be there. They have the liberty to come here, but they do have to conform to U.S. law. And Sharia law has to be renounced, as far as that goes. I mean, it can't be accepted. It doesn't fit with our country and our constitution, our state constitutions, and it certainly won't fit with Texas constitution and Texas law. I know that for a fact.
Amen.
I mean, Texas law goes even above and beyond. So I mean, it's not gonna be conducive to there. So they're gonna have to conform. If you come to America, I mean, you have to conform to U.S. law. All right. Well, listen, we got to take a break. And we'll come back, and if we need to pick this up on the other side, we can talk a little bit about this again, too. This is kind of interesting. I Was There When It Happened by the Marksman Quartet. We'll be right back in just a few minutes on the Old Paths broadcast.
There are some people,
yes, I know,
who say we cannot tell.
I was there.
Whether we are saved,
yes,
or
I know,
whether all is well.
I was there.
Say we only can hope, and
yes, I know,
trust that it is so.
I was there.
For I was there.
On Islam which Islam is nothing more than witchcraft, is what it is. And I'm going to preach a message on that. We need to do a radio show on that too, as well, a show on Islam.
Amen.
You know, because Brother Lonnie said they're talking about putting a mosque near Brother Wally. Oh my! Putting a mosque by Brother Wally? Where's Brother Wally live exactly?
Dover, Tennessee.
How far is that from you, brother?
Oh, that's if you go at an angle across Arkansas, you know, I mean, he's about as far from one corner of Arkansas as I am the other.
Wow. Let's see. He says they have a mosque in Tyler, Texas, Brother Wally says. Well, that's interesting, I'll tell you. But, you know, Islam is really, it is witchcraft. We don't have time to go into that tonight, but they do the same things that witches do in some of their ceremonies, some of the things they do at Mecca and everything, all those things. It's very interesting. Now, they'll get mad at you if you say that, but that's okay. I'm used to people being upset with me. So whether it's fundamental Baptists that are upset with me, or whether it's Muslims that are upset with me, or, you know, any of the other false religions that are, it happens either way. So we understand
right.
That the truth hurts.
Amen.
And we know we have the Word of God, and we know we have what's true, and we know that the whole world lieth in wickedness. But we
that's
know
right.
That this whole world needs Jesus Christ. And that's kind of what we're going to talk
mm-hmm.
about here tonight a little bit. We're going to talk about Luciferianism tonight. Unless there was something else, brother, you wanted to add.
No, that's pretty
right
much
now.
It.
You know,
that was pretty much it. This link with, you know, Obama and the Pope was kind of strange. Maybe we can figure that out and make sure that's real.
Well, I'll tell you something, brother. Either way, the fact that he went over to see, the Pope, either way, it shows that these men, are working together.
Right.
You know, that's what it shows. It shows very plainly.
Mm-hmm. That's right. They're just working toward that one world system.
They sure are, brother. They are locking it down, aren't they? They're just it's funny how Satan's kingdom is a divided kingdom, but once in a while they have the same goal in mind. They come together the same way, but they come together pointing to the same direction.
Mm-hmm.
But they have different routes to get there.
Right.
You know.
So where are we going on this thing tonight, brother?
Well, listen, the first place we're going to go, we're going to look at this Luciferianism, it's the light of the New Age religion that's out there. You know, it's funny, I'm not really going to talk too much about this tonight, but one of the things that I did last night was deal with Billy Graham as a false prophet and why.
Mm-hmm.
And I showed why Billy Graham's a false prophet, and I put that message up online. It's on our sermon audio page. So if somebody wants to go there, they can listen to that sermon or whatever. But I'm doing a series on these false prophets because they're bringing in damnable heresies, you know, denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what these men are doing, and they're doing it under the guise of biblical Christianity, and it's a lie. It's just nothing more than a big lie. Well, anyway, there's a light that all men seek in this world, and these esoteric religions, they seek this same thing. They seek a light. They want light and knowledge. Now, this isn't any different. We'll get into this, of what happened in the Garden of Eden. But Luciferianism is the religion of the world right now. It is the religion of the Antichrist, and it is,
mm-hmm.
it is the one world religion. And it's coming together as we see. I mean, there's so much on this that could be said about this with the Pope and just even Obama going over there. These people, they talk about a Christ, but it's not the Christ of the Bible. They talk about a Christ. They talk about these things, but they're not the Christ of the Bible. I want you to be aware of some things and listen to these verses here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 4. This verse here, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The real light, brother, comes from Christ.
Amen.
But Satan offers a different light. He is the light of all these modernists and all these New Age religions. He is that light that is offered and accepted by so many of them, the esoterics, the Masons, many of these. He is a light that is accepted. Go ahead.
And I was going to say, even in the drug culture, that enlightenment that they're looking for, that expanding their minds, trying to reach something else. I mean, he's that thing they're reaching for.
That's absolutely true, brother. That's exactly what it is. It's a false light. But it says, but listen to what 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 14 says. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now listen, that's Billy Graham, that's Joel Osteen, that's Rick Warren, that's these men out there that are that's Benny Hinn, that's some of these women that preach better than some men do, Joyce Meyer and a few of those others.
Mm-hmm.
They're a false
Paula
light.
White.
Yeah, Paula White. Oh, Paula White and Benny Hinn, what a story that is. Don't got time to go into them perverts today, but boy, what a bunch of perverts.
Well, I'll ask you this. I noticed you posted about Joel Osteen and how it was creepy when you got to digging into him. What did you find on Joel Osteen that creeped you out so bad?
Well, I'll tell you, brother, it's I'm going to cover this in a sermon probably on Sunday if the Lord leads, a message on this false prophet. But I'll tell you one of the things that I found about that I've listened to. When you listen, Joel Osteen, his language is that of witchcraft. The way that he said things, it's of witchcraft. The way that you just got to speak this. Go ahead.
Are you talking about his cadence and the way he says things? Because he has a cadence to his voice, and he has a Well, if you ever pay attention to him, if you ever listen to him for any length of time, there is a hypnotic cadence to his voice. He talks in the same type of phrases, the same lifting and falling, the same. It's always the same.
Oh, he's a master speaker, though. He understands exactly how to speak. I mean, hey, listen, if Joel Osteen was peddling Amway, or if he was peddling a multi-marketing system, if he was doing that, that'd be great, okay? That'd be fine.
Yeah.
If there was no Christ involved in it, if there was no false antichrist involved with it, and he wasn't trying to, if he wasn't preaching witchcraft like he is, I mean, he just
reaching the masses.
Oh, millions. I mean, he's got like 5.9 million people that follow him on Facebook or Twitter or something like that. 5.9 million people follow that false prophet. What is he offering them? A false light, a different Jesus.
Right.
Not the one of the Bible.
Yep, you're right.
And I mean, he gets into some really crazy stuff. So the guy creeps me out when you start listening to him. And I listened to him. I listened to one message. He only preaches for 27 minutes. Anyway, he preaches for 27 minutes exactly. I mean, it's 27.35 minutes. And listen to this guy preach. And I don't call preaching. I'm doing it for research. And boy, does it ever drive me nuts. My wife was listening to it there with me. She heard a few things he said. And she's like, "Who is this nut?" And I mean, that's
hey, by the way,
what?
What's your average?
My average sermon?
Yeah.
About an hour.
I was going to say I'm about 55, 57 minutes. So I'm
Yep, that's about it. That's about what it is, about an hour, yep. I hear lately I've been going over a little bit. If I have a lot of reading material in the sermon, too, that I add extra references or something, it might take me a little while. One sermon I did a few weeks ago was like an hour and 17 minutes, but usually it's about 55 minutes. I don't time it or anything, but that's usually about what the average is, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
Right about an hour is what it is. And folks, when they come to church at our church, they're there to be there. They're not there to leave. You know, they
right.
want to be. So, you know, they're there to be there, and man, if we have a guest preacher and that preacher preaches an hour or whatever, I just tell them, hey, don't you worry about how long you preach, brother. Just don't you worry about.
Amen.
How long you preach. They don't care.
That's right.
They want to. They're here to listen. They're here to learn. They want to hear it, and just let her fly and do what the Lord leads you to do. And boy, you ain't going to hurt them. Their feelings, any? They ain't going to be watching the clock or anything like that. They don't. We don't even use that clock. We don't really care about it, but. They're there to be there, so it's a blessing.
I was gonna say, you ever get one of those visitors in there, and you know, when 12 o'clock hits, And then 12:15 comes, and 12:20 comes. You just see them begin to wilt.
Yeah, they don't know how to handle that. You know, in fundamentalist churches, they're always used to being done and out the door by noon. And, oh, man, you
right.
can't go to noon because they got to eat and all this stuff and everything else like that.
They start looking around like a caged animal, like, how am I going to get out of here?
Yeah, I mean,
you stand for an invitation or something, and brother, they're out there.
Oh, they're nervous about that. They're used to that 3 points in a poem and being out the door, and they don't have any time for anything any longer than that. So it's definitely interesting.
That's right, brother. You just 3 points and a good little thought and sermon.
You know, but
amen.
But yeah, you're right. So anyway, but. You know, Lucifer is this light. Now, I want you to listen to what's on the Luciferian website here and kind of give you – let me say this. In contrast, Luciferianism seeks to enlighten all of humankind, and Luciferians are encouraged not to convert but to spread knowledge, understanding, and tolerance wherever possible, helping others to realize the potential for greatness. Now, this sounds like Joel Osteen, by the way. Man, this is giving me some good stuff for Sunday. But anyway, and potential for greatness. That's the first – never mind. I can't get off on Joel Osteen. I don't have time right now. Anyway, let me keep going here. Potential for greatness within themselves and to achieve as much as they can. There is a spotlight on doing good and placing others before the self, regardless of who they are. While Satanists are deeply involved in living for the moment, content to remain who or what they are currently are, Luciferians seek ways to aid humanity's progression to the next stage of social, physical, or intellectual evolution. One religion deals with the self, while the other deals with humanity as a whole and the natural work in which we live. In spite of using similar archetypes, the Luciferian pursuit of knowledge and understanding has little in common with the satanic goal of immediate gratification. So if we stop there for a second, one thing we realize is that Luciferianism has not changed much, and that is an accurate description of who in the world Lucifer really was and what his goal was in the Garden of Eden. Because if you look at Genesis chapter 3, what did he offer? Oh, all I want to offer you, Eve, is light and knowledge. That's all I want to see. Brother Russ says, I can grow a full beard during one of your sermons. Thanks, Brother Russ. Appreciate that. But he's right. We do go along. But, hey, he's one to talk. Now, listen, Brother Russ is one to talk. You know what? Now that he said that to me, I'm gonna tell on Brother Russ. We were out at one of our members' farms, and we were out there having a good time out there and holding our services out on the farm there. And Brother Russ, I said, okay, Brother Russ, why don't you preach a devotion for us in the afternoon? Brother Russ's devotion was an hour and a half long. That was a devotion. I was thinking he was going to go, like, I don't know, maybe a half an hour. It doesn't matter because, like you said, we don't have a clock on it or nothing. But Brother Russ preached for like an hour and a half. So I don't want to hear him talk about growing a beard. I could have roasted a pig in that hour and a half, brother.
Hey, speaking of roasting a pig, and let me tell you, I just got off the phone last night with my good friend, missionary Richard Miller. He's a missionary, been a missionary to the Fiji Islands and Papua New Guinea for about the last 40 years. And as a result of his ministry, there are 3 Bible colleges and 100 churches over there.
Amen.
That started. So, I mean, he's like a modern day Apostle Paul. Man's just give his life to God. But anyway, he said he just got back from over there. He was over there for 2 months, and every day that he was there, he preached every single day. He said in every sermon was at least 2 hours. He said in Papua New Guinea, he said if you preach for less than 2 hours, they get upset with you because they feel like you didn't give them enough. So you know what that tells me? We're spoiled rotten over here.
Yeah.
We're so used to having our little schedule and fitting God in. I mean, they really, 2 hours. He said, I'm exhausted beyond belief, you know, when I get done. He said, because those people will preach you to death. They want to hear it. They love
Amen.
It.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord, brother. That's exciting. I love people that are hungry for the Word of God. And, you know, it's funny because sometimes on Sundays, our church, we'll have 3 hours of preaching on Sunday. We go straight through. We have dinner, we have lunch, and then we have fellowship time, then we'll come back and preach again. So, you know, sometimes they'll get 3 hours of preaching in there along with all the other things that we're doing, and they love it. So it is a blessing. It is a blessing.
Amen.
That God is that God is dealing with his people, and we're seeing it more and more. Things are changing, and there's a lot of churches that are strengthening. The things that remain, they're being strong. They're starting to grow. They're starting to grow the people, and they have a desire to return back to this Word of God as its rule, as a rule of faith and practice, and that is encouraging in these last times.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Well, as we look at Genesis chapter 3 here, we understand what Satan was doing, what Lucifer was doing in the Garden of Eden even. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. See, he offered her what? Knowledge. He offered her light, and he offered her knowledge.
Enlightenment.
That's right, enlightenment. Hey, Eve, you're going to be like a god. You're going to be like a god. You're going to be like a god, knowing good and evil. I mean, you're going to have knowledge.
Right.
You're going to know everything. And the woman, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Verse number 7 says, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. But it says here their eyes were opened. Lucifer's grand design to open man's eyes, to teach her, to enlighten him. That's what his goal was, to enlighten them. But if we turn over to 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 15, we see some things.
Hey, brother, before you do, I wanted to point something out that I just saw when we were reading verse 5.
Sounds good, brother.
He said that God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods. Gods over what? There were no one else but them two. Who did they have to be gods over?
Right.
They had dominion over the. I mean, Adam had dominion over the earth. What did he? What more did he need? He already had everything that he needed. God had put that into his hand. You know, in a very far stretch, you can always apply that to the 501c3. Just a thought. Just food for thought.
Amen. It is food for thought, and it is good. It is a good thought. We need to understand exactly what the context of that was and what he was offering them. I mean, it was the foolishness. But why did they accept it? Here's why. 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Eve did not see the garden enclosed, but that God was trying to trap them and keep them where they were at. That God was trying to hold some secret or hidden knowledge from them that God was keeping from them. Is it any wonder that the major cults are a lot of them are started by women? What happened? Lust of the eyes. She saw it, right? That was the lust of the eyes.
Yeah, she said, I want to do this.
Right. Then it was what? It was the lust of the flesh. Let
well,
your
yeah,
eyes
the lust,
be open.
Well, right. Well, actually, the lust of the flesh is the desire to do.
Yep.
It's that I want to do that. So, and then there was the lust of the eyes. She wanted to have it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the pride of life, well,
and she took of that fruit, and there, and she, the pride of the life was the knowledge that she wanted. She wanted that knowledge to be God's.
Amen. She didn't want what the Father wanted, what the world offered.
That's right. She wanted what the devil offered her, the world, basically, offered her to be a god over overall, and that God's plan wasn't good enough. Eve didn't see it like that. She had her eyes on Lucifer. Lucifer, his attack was on the woman and on the words of God. He attacked God's word.
That's right. Amen. You know, I had this talk with one of my sons the other day, and it was in a disciplinary moment, and I was explaining to him. I said, you know, we have cows out here in our pasture. I said, and we put a fence around them. And I'm sure they think, you know, hey, I'd love to go over there and eat that grass over there. It's grown up. It's a lot longer than it is over here. You know, I'd love to go over there across the road or wherever. I said, we don't keep that fence up to hurt them or to punish them in any way. And he said, no. I said, well, that's the way rules are around this house. So they're to protect you. And I mean, Satan's lie is that he'll give you something God won't. And you need to step outside the boundaries of God's word to get it. But he doesn't tell you that he'll devour you once you're over the fence.
That's right. He doesn't show you, he only shows you the one side of it. He only showed her the light. He didn't show her the darkness that was there. He offered her a false light. He didn't show her the truth about it.
Right.
You know,
I've always heard it said, you know, you drive down the Las Vegas Strip, man, you see the front of those casinos, it's fascinating, but drive down the back alley behind them and look at the drug users and the wino puking in the gutter, and, you know, the back door don't look near as enticing as the front. Satan's always luring us away with enlightenment, but he doesn't reveal what the back door of that thing looks like.
No, he sure doesn't, brother. He sure didn't show Eve the other side of it. All he did was feed her flesh and the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Those three things are the same three things that we find in 1 John. That's the same way that she was fooled about it. That's the same way that Adam gave in. Those same things. And we see what can happen when that takes place. We see that death took place, and then we see that death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. And death was passed upon them through Adam, was passed upon all
Amen.
Men. And man was a sinner. And because, what was his desire? Well, Eve was fooled into believing that the light was what she needed. That not to go to God's word for the light, to go to what God had said, but to pervert the word of God.
Right. That's absolutely right.
And
those people that tune in for your Joel Osteen message, those people that tune in for their Joyce Meyer message, they're not getting God's word. They're getting a perversion of God's words. And they just can't see it.
No, they can't, because the God of this world has blinded their minds.
That's right. That's right. Amen. It's sad, brother. It breaks my heart. I see people who claim to be Christians. I mean, you know, I have friends outside of my pastoral friends on Facebook and just acquaintances and people that I've known. And when I see one of them saying, oh, I can't wait 15 minutes till Joel, I just want to throw up.
Oh, I watched two of his little sermonettes that he gave. He never heard the, first of all, I don't know what version of the Bible he was using, but it wasn't much of one, whatever it was. And it really didn't, I mean, it was just such a paraphrase. It didn't even sound like a Bible at all. Just really sad stuff.
Amen. Hey, brother, we got to take a break.
Sounds good, brother. Take us out.
Amen. Well, I don't know what Brother Lonnie's got queued up, but we got some good music coming up here on the Old Paths broadcast. We'll be back in just a minute. We'll see you then.
What happened to our music, brother?
There is no music.
There's no music, and I ain't singing, brother. I'll let you sing, but I'm not singing.
Well, we're not going to play any, but have you ever heard of Asleep at the Wheel? I think that's what happened to Brother Lonnie.
He's sleeping at the wheel.
Amen. I tell you what, we'll just keep on going until Brother Lonnie lets us know something. How about that?
Sounds good, brother. Sounds real good. I don't know what happened to him. Maybe he fell asleep. He's working kind of hard. Maybe that's what happened.
It may be. Well, you know, one thing we were talking, one thing that, you know, to mention here, and is that a lot of these cults, these people that go after seeking after this false light, a lot of these cults are started by women, aren't they?
They sure are, brother. That's one of the things. How about Ellen G. White?
Yes.
Oh. How do these people ignore the Bible completely? Of course, they must not read the Bible at all. But how do they ignore the Bible completely?
Well, just, I have no idea, brother. I guess they just, you know, it's all built upon a premise that they want to elevate themselves. So, I mean, I saw something the other day. Somebody posted on Facebook. You remember Robert Tilton?
Yeah, I posted that on Facebook. Did you like
that? Was
that
you?
Yeah.
Where he said Satan gave me this message.
Oh man, the truth finally came out. That guy finally told the truth.
Yeah, that was a Freudian slip, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, have you heard from Brother Lonnie?
We're about ready to go. Yep, Brother Lonnie's got us on a break right now here. We're gonna go to a break here in just a minute with I believe it's a song from the Marksman Quartet here. We'll be right back in just a few minutes on the Old Paths broadcast.
If I could take a bullet, I still couldn't take the pain. No, but it's not the place for Christians to take matters in their own hands. So I just turn it over, report it to the original Superman. He can move a mountain, has power over night and day. And neither death nor height nor kryptonite can steal his power away. He don't hide in a phone booth, never had a change in the plan. Yesterday, today, forever, the original Superman. He didn't come from another planet, though he owns the whole universe. No, he just left his throne in heaven and descended down to earth. Where they plot, it was just the killing. They drove nails in his feet and his hands. And he conquered sin and he lived again, the original Superman. He can move a mountain, has power over night and day. And neither depth nor height nor kryptonite can steal his power away. He don't hide in a phone booth, never had a change in plan. Yesterday, today, forever, the original Superman.
Well-known Brother Lonnie, and back there in the producer booth, so we're thankful for him and he got us some music going, praise God. Brother Cooley, you there?
I'm here, brother. They haven't cut me off yet.
Well, amen. Well, you're a hard man to find down in that basement, so.
I'm telling you, from the Cooley compound, way deep behind
amen.
Enemy lines, in FEMA Region 2. I don't
buried
know.
Buried in the earth. Buried in the bowels of the frozen earth.
Deep in the heart of deep in the heart of the Antarctic of the Midwest.
Oh, mercy! You chose it, brother.
No, I didn't. I didn't choose it. I just obeyed God, brother.
Okay. You don't blame that on God. You're up there.
Yeah. Hey, believe me, I fought it, man. I fought it. I
amen.
Did. I was like, I don't wanna. But God said, no, you're gonna. I said, okay.
Amen.
Well, listen now, we're talking about Lucifer, the light of this new age and the light of these new age religions here. And one of the things that one of Satan's major attacks was on the word of God right away. That's exactly what he did. And right here what we see here that from the word of God right away in the book of Genesis chapter 3 here, we see him attack the word of God. Yea, hath God said was his first attack on God's word. Yea, hath God said. And listen, that is always the attack of Satan is on God's word. Not to erase it, because he can't erase it. He can't erase it.
He tried to counterfeit it.
And he did try to counterfeit. That's all he can do is counterfeit. He can't erase it because he'll never defeat God's word. God's word is where all the power is. In that, you know, as we that speak English here and understand the English, we have the King James Bible, the holy, perfect, inspired, infallible word of God. And we have those
amen.
Words of God, and we hold them up to be true. And we understand that is our sword, and that is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. This is
praise
the truth.
God.
Amen. Now, what Lucifer has done in these modern versions, he's done a lot of flipping around. Just about everybody knows the word Lucifer as another name for Satan. The word Lucifer is found one time in the King James Bible. It says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
But what about the NIV? We're going to look at the NIV, what it says. The word Lucifer is clean, bald-headed, gone, and now this creature is identified as the morning star. Lucifer is the morning star in the NIV. How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn? You have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. So we know that in the NIV, the morning star is a negative evil figure, right?
Uh-huh. I know where you're going with this.
Yep, he was fallen from heaven. He was cast down to the earth. Can we find the morning star anywhere else in the NIV? If you turn to Isaiah 14:12, the morning star and Lucifer and Jesus are one in the NIV. He says here in Revelation chapter 22, verse number 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star.
That was the NIV.
The NIV says this. It says, we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you do well to pay attention to it as a light shining in dark until the day dawn and the morning stars. Well, that's the King James Bible says it. The NIV likens the morning star and Lucifer is the same, but they like Christ. They liken Christ to the same in the NIV as they call him the bright and morning star. The same thing as they call Lucifer.
Right.
They're the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
The NIV. They make it the same.
That's right.
Oh. Why would you want to do that? Well, it's my opinion, and I believe, and as you can see, that these New Age versions, these New Age versions are what? They are pushing a different Christ.
Mm-hmm.
They are pushing a morning star. They make the morning star Lucifer and Jesus in the NIV.
Right.
We understand the King James Bible has the truth about that and shows the truth about that. But beware of these modern versions, especially the NIV, as it tips his hand and shows you this who this world is waiting for, the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You're right about that, brother.
Yeah. John chapter 8, verse number 12 says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but he shall have the light of life. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Amen.
Amen.
Jesus is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world.
That's right.
We
but
see
if the light that's in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness, the Bible also says.
That's right. That's absolutely correct. Let me share with you where this all comes from. This Gnosticism and this other things. A common characteristic of some of these groups was the teaching that the realization of gnosis, esoteric or intuitive knowledge, is the way to salvation of the soul from the material world. They saw the material world as created through an intermediary being rather than directly by God. In most of the systems, this was seen as imperfect. In others, even as evil. Different Gnostics.
The demiurge.
That's right.
They call it the demiurge.
Isn't that weird? Different Gnostic schools sometimes identified as the demiurge as Ahriman, El Soklis, Samal, Satan, or Yahweh.
Isn't it kind of Gnosticism? I've tried to study it, and you know what time I have understanding this demiurge. It's like there are many projections of God, is how they teach it, or is that the way it's...
Well, yeah, see, there's no absolutes in Gnosticism and everything. There's no absolutes in any of the cults like that. Any of the occult, they don't give you any absolutes.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't. Jesus is identified by some Gnostics as an embodiment of the Supreme Being who became incarnate to bring the Gnosis to earth, to bring you that knowledge is what they're saying here, to bring that light, while others adamantly deny that the Supreme Being came in the flesh, claiming Jesus to be merely a human who attained divinity through Gnosis and taught his disciples to do the same. Among the Mandians, it is blasphemy. It is absolute blasphemy. Among the Mandians, Jesus was considered Misha, or false Messiah, who perverted the teachings entrusted to him by John the Baptist.
Good heavens.
Yes. Albert Pike said most of the early Christians were nothing but dunces. He said they didn't have that knowledge or that light.
I wonder how Albert Pike's enjoying roasting in hell right now.
Yeah, old fat Albert Pike. I don't know how he's not doing so hot, but he was a devil-possessed man. And he was a wicked man. We don't have time to talk about Albert Pike, but I'll tell you one thing. Albert Pike is like he's the only man that is buried 13 blocks away from the Capitol at a Masonic lodge, a Masonic burial tomb there. And he's the only man that was from down south that fought in the Civil War there that is buried there. But he did.
Well, don't blame that on the South.
He did heinous, wicked things to people down south. Or, I mean, to the northern. He was just a wicked man. Period. He was just wicked. No,
right.
You can't blame that. You can't blame that on the South. But I mean, he was a wicked man. And
amen.
Serving his God, he said, "Lucifer, the light, doubt it not."
Mm-mm. That's right. Well, we covered that Statue of Liberty show, and let's not forget that the light Liberty's holding up, and we certainly covered that real well, but a lot of people hadn't heard that show. But America is eat up with enlightenment.
You better believe it. That torch of illumination, that torch of light, that's nothing more than Satan. It's Satan's torch. It's more than that. It's a phallic symbol as well, and a few other things. But I mean, but yeah, there's a lot of things that involve that. And that is that light of illumination. What is that light? That light is what? That light that they are holding up is the light of illumination. It's the light of Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
Lucifer's torch.
Now, brother, at Rockefeller Center in New York City, isn't there a big statue of Prometheus? It's always in the many. Where's that at?
You know, I don't know, brother. Brother Lonnie, why don't you check on that for us to get some information on that? I'm not sure about that, but I'd sure like to see that.
But I've seen it so many times in, like the Good Morning America, the Today Show, those type things, people standing in front of that statue. And it is, he's holding fire in his hand, Prometheus. And, I mean, it's just another image of Satan, but he's holding forth that light.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me any. But Brother Lonnie's going to check on that for us. But you know, it's all over. It's in everything, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you know, you had old Magog himself when he was president, George H.W. Bush, talking about 1,000 points of light.
Amen. That's, 1,000 points of light. 1,000 points of light to illuminate. Yeah, that's the light. That's the light they're talking about. Beware of that light. That light is a falseness.
That's right.
That light is not the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That light is not the light of Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Brother Lonnie says it's in the Rockefeller Center.
Rockefeller Center. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we both found it at the same time. But absolutely, and he's holding in his hand what looks to be some burning something or other. But Prometheus, I mean, who was Prometheus? Does anybody have that real quick?
Prometheus was a false god. Let me check here. Boy, if old Nate was on here tonight, he'd know who Prometheus was. He was
where is Nate?
I don't know, Brother Nate, what he's doing. He's probably busy doing something, I'm sure. I don't think he's on with us tonight.
I enjoyed having him the other night.
Yeah, that was a blessing. Brother Frank and Brother Joe's on with us. Let's see, we got Brother Lonnie there. We got another call from a 313 number. I don't know who that is, unless that's Brother Joe, too, as well. Unless they got two separate phones they're on listening to there. Brother Eric Frank is on there, being Frank as usual, I'm sure, as he always is. But good to have those men on with us here tonight. Somebody just asked me for a link to the show, and I can't get there quick enough to give it to them. But anyway.
No, Prometheus, I've got it. In Greek mythology, he's a titan, culture hero, a trickster figure who is credited with the creation of man from clay. And who defies the gods and gives fire to humanity. An act that enabled civilization. Prometheus is known for his intelligence and as a champion for mankind.
There you go.
Says it all, doesn't it?
Sure does, brother. Sure does.
He's holding forth the light. Light
of knowledge. That's exactly what it's about. If we look in the scriptures here, the Bible says here in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 9, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. God is the source of all true wisdom and light. Exodus 31 verse number 3. And I have filled them with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. God gives the true light, brother.
That's right, brother.
God gives the true light. God gives the true knowledge. He has said, which heard the words of God and knew the knowledge of the Most High, saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. Talking about Balaam there, when he took up a parable. He tried to take a parable against Israel. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse number 39, moreover, your little ones, which you said should be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in thither, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it. Knowledge, true knowledge comes from God. True wisdom comes from God. 2 Chronicles 1 and verse number 10, give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great? And God said to Solomon, because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast thou asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king.
Right, and in verse 12, he said, wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and honor, wealth and honor, and such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there be there any after thee have the like. He went to God, he went to the right place, and, you know, it wasn't until later on in life when he started getting too many women in his life running the show that he turned from God.
You better believe it, bro. That's what got him in trouble. That's why God said to be careful not to who you marry and who you get involved with and who you allow yourself to get involved with. When you get involved with the world, you're going to get in trouble. When you get involved with all these women that worship false gods, he warned his children. He said, don't do that. Why? Because they'll cause you to go whoring after other gods.
Well, the Word of God says, and I'm not going to get off on women tonight, but the Word of God says that, you know, the man has a wife, he cares for the things of this world, how he may please his wife. I mean, the Bible's clear on that. You know, you better be careful who you marry. She better have the same desires to serve God as you do, or you're in trouble, Buster.
Amen, brother. You ain't a kidding. You ain't a kidding. How about this in Job chapter 36 and verse number 3? I will fetch my knowledge from afar, and I will ascribe righteousness to my Maker. Job knew where his knowledge should come from. He would get it from afar. Here in the book of Job, we see that someone had to get knowledge from God. You couldn't get it from anywhere else. You try to get knowledge from somewhere else, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. In Ecclesiastes 1, verse 18, for in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increases knowledge increases sorrow. Boy, is that ever true.
Well, I'm telling you, brother. You know, I think sometimes people wish I'd just cheer up, but I the more I learn, it's like, oh my goodness. Of course, I ain't got no goodness, but I mean, it just weighs me down. Mm-hmm. All the burden of this world and all the troubles and where it's headed and how it's clamoring after this one world system. It just,
yep.
I can't help but look at it. You know, I envy those who, you know, they can just go about their day and not ever think about it. In a way I do, but in a way I don't, because they're oblivious to the things that are important in this life. But those who just go about, you know, soccer practice and just run to the grocery store and sit down and watch their favorite shows. But, you know, those people have no idea the burden that a pastor carries. Somebody, and not just a pastor, but even an informed Christian. We carry a heavy burden. Thank God we got a Savior who says, get in the yoke with me and I'll lift your burden. I mean, he lets us know that he will. And that's the only rest that you and I or anybody else who's learning more and more about this coming Antichrist system, that's the only help we have is to let the Lord get in there and shoulder the load with us and give us rest and us know that he's going to take care of it all.
Amen.
That's all we have. That's all we need.
Mm.
But there is much
more. Go ahead, brother.
No, I was just commenting. I said there is much grief with much wisdom. The more you learn, the more you shake your head at those who don't know anything.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Daniel chapter 12 and verse number 4, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. Even to the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Knowledge
mm-hmm.
shall be increased.
Mm. Yep, and we're living in that day, aren't we?
We sure are, brother. We are sure. But people are seeking the wrong light today.
Amen.
They're seeking the wrong light today. They're seeking the light of this world. They're seeking the light that is found in this world, this light of Satan. They're not seeking Jesus Christ. They're seeking a different light. Luciferianism, it seeks after this knowledge. And you see that Luciferians are different from Satanists because Luciferians, what do they have? They have this desire for light and knowledge, and they're more sophisticated than Satanists. See, they're after the light, where Satanists are after the beastly type.
Right.
But
yeah, you've got that television show now that's, I'm not sure what network it's on, but it's Long Island Medium. I know you've seen that woman. I know surely you've run across that. I know you don't have a television set in your home, but I know good and well, surely you've run across Long Island Medium.
I have heard about that. Somebody made me aware of that.
Oh, I mean, brother, it's the whole Miss Cleo, John Edwards, it's that whole nine yards, but you got it packaged in this little joity mom. You know, she's going to come to your house. She's going to give you a reading. You know, what was that Jersey Shore thing? I mean, it's that whole run of the mill kind of thing, and they're selling it in America. I can guarantee you, women are eating that up in America.
Yeah, they're selling witchcraft.
Mm-hmm.
They're selling witchcraft.
Oh yeah. Nearly every show on television nowadays, unless it is one of these reality shows or a documentary, has something to do with witchcraft, some form or fashion.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
Yes, sir. I mean, nearly any time of the day, you can find something on witchcraft, though, or something that's teed up with it.
Yep, absolutely. Why? Because we are at these end times, and this is exactly what God said was going to happen during this time. The Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. How about this one? In Psalm 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. We need wisdom from God.
Amen.
We need wisdom from God. That's what we need. We don't need just base knowledge.
Amen.
But see, what the esoteric, the Bible says in Psalms 119, verse number 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple.
Right.
That's the light that we're to be after. However, Lucifer offers his light as esoteric light, and it's rebellion against God. What did God say in Isaiah chapter 14, verse number 12? How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which is weak in the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
Five things that he said he was going to do.
All right. You want to go through them?
Yep, those five things he said he was going to do. He said, I will ascend into heaven.
Mm-hmm.
I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Now, I believe he's talking about the other angels there.
Right.
I believe that's who he's talking about there when he says above the stars of God. I believe that's who he's
mm-hmm.
talking about. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I believe what he is talking about there. There's two different. There's some people say that's Israel itself. Some people say that's ascending above the congregation of the churches or whatever, but that's, you know, neither here nor there as far as that's concerned. Whatever it is, he wants to ascend above. I will ascend above. Some people reference that as the false Messiah coming, that the Antichrist that will come, that this is all going to be fulfilled in that son of light, so to speak, that Antichrist that's to come, that he's to rule and to reign on this earth for a while as he rules and he reigns before Jesus comes to crush his rebellion. But
Hey, brother, I'll tell
yeah.
you what, why don't we pause just a second? We're time for break, and we're going to go to break here in just a second, and we'll come back on the other side and finish up that. But as we go to break here, we're going to go to break with the Seminole String Band and a song called Be Not Afraid, right here on the Old Paths Broadcast.
Amen.
Thank you.
Talking about Luciferianism, the New World Religion, and this country is choking to death on it today and doesn't even know it. You know, and Brother Cooley, that's the one thing that really gets me. It was ushered in, and people just bought it. They bought it lock, stock, and barrel. And, you know, what used to be, you know, it used to be you'd hear about, you know, somebody's daughter went nuts and went off to join one of them cults somewhere. You know, and you'd hear about stuff like that. At least I did coming up. You know, that so-and-so went nuts, burned out on drugs, joined a cult, dancing around, singing with flowers in their hair. But, you know, it went from that to the majority of people worshiping self-help gurus who now make them, who tickle their ears and make them feel better about themselves. And it's just as the Bible promised would happen. They'll heap up to themselves teachers having itching ears. We are living in those perilous times, and the world is, again, clamoring after the beast.
It sure is, brother. It sure is. And this is the devil's most dangerous attack as the giver of light. Jesus said this in the Word of God. The Bible says this in Ezekiel chapter 28, "Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee."
Mm-hmm. Man, when you look at that description, that's something else. I mean, just the first statement, "Thou sealest up the sum." You know, I mean, what do you transfer that into? I mean, what is he saying? He's saying there wasn't anything any better.
Right. I mean, Satan was, Lucifer, when he was created, was, I believe he happens to be the most powerful angel. Well, he's not an angel, he's a cherub. There's a difference. But the most powerful of those beasts that were created, I believe that he was the most powerful one. Mm-hmm. The Bible says that he was the anointed. He is the anointed. It doesn't say he was. It says he is the anointed cherub that covereth. And I believe he had that power, and he had great power, and he stood in the presence of God Almighty.
Right.
I mean, that is an amazing thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just even think about
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. I mean, he was right there with God. He was right there next to God. He was, I mean, you could say he was, almost say he was, you know, he was God's number one assistant. You know, he had a place of absolute prominence.
Absolutely.
And it just wasn't just like in some mega corporation where the second in command is eyeing the boss's job and will do anything dirty and blackmail and do anything you can to bring down the boss, all the while, you know, smiling and saying everything right. That's him.
Sure is, brother. That's exactly who he is. Wicked. Wicked. Blavatsky.
And what were you saying? Before we went to break, you were talking about the five things that he said in Isaiah 14.
You covered
a couple of.
Yeah, the five things that he said, "I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High." These are what he said in his heart. This is what he said that he would do in his heart. And God knew his heart, and God knew what he had said. This is what he's going to attempt, and I believe this is going to be fulfilled. I mean, in his way, he's going to try to fulfill this in the Antichrist.
Right.
He's going to use man to try to accomplish this, and I believe that's what he's going to do. When we look at the scripture, now look at the cults. Look at the Luciferian cults that are out there. Blavatsky, if you don't understand who Helena Blavatsky is, you'd have to look her up. She's part of the Theosophical religion of Luciferianism, and she said the pentagram is the morning star. Interesting, isn't it?
And by the way, Blavatsky, and of course we'd have to do a whole show on it, but Blavatsky, if you look down her corrupt family tree, you'll find the likes of Adolf Hitler. You'll find also the likes of Arnold Schwarzenegger, George H.W. and George W. and John Kerry. And, you know, you'll find a whole bunch of those people down her family tree.
Wow. Yeah, incredible. Crazy stuff. Now, how about, let's see, Lucifer, the light bearer. What's that?
I was going to say, not to mention Crowley.
Ugh. Yeah, that's a strange spiritual tree, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Crowley just, he's creepy. Lucifer, the light bearer, strange and mysterious name to give to the spirit of darkness. Lucifer, the son of the morning, is it he who bears the light and with its splendors intolerable, blinds feeble, sensual, or selfish souls? Doubt it not. That was Albert Pike.
Well, you know, it's not strange to me that he calls himself a light bearer because he's the father of lies.
That's right. That's absolutely true. That's exactly who he is. And he's deceived and tricked this old wicked world. They are deceived. How about the Lucifer?
Absolutely.
The Lucis Trust was once called the Lucifer Trust. You know, and it was the name of the ship, but that's Alice Bailey and that group. How they believed in the light. They believed in getting the light, you know, that they needed the light from you know, just more theosophy, more stuff. Listen, like we've talked about before, Blavatsky and all of these and Bailey and all this stuff, this same spiritism and light from Lucifer, this same stuff is what did fuel an Adolf Hitler to do what he did.
Right.
It was his. It was part of his spirit to do these things because this is what he believed.
Absolutely.
Did you know that Adolf Hitler actually said that he met the Antichrist?
Well, I read that.
Yeah. Now, I mean, I'm not saying I believe him. I'm just saying that's what he said. He said that he met him and he was a scary. He said he was very intimidating. Let's see. Let me see if I can find that. Yeah. I'll give you the exact quote of what was said here, if I can find it here. Let's see here. Yep. He said he met the Antichrist and he scared the hell out of him. That's what he said. I'm just quoting what he said. I'm not.
Right.
That's what he said. He said he scared the hell out of me. That's what he did. So, end quote. That's exactly what he said.
Wow.
And I don't know who he met, all right? I'm not sure who he met, but I'm sure he met somebody that had a devil in him, at least, and I'm sure he did get scared. But that's the light the world is seeking after. That's the light that this world is looking for. Theosophy deals with the light bearer. It deals with Lucifer being the light bearer. Lucifer, the light bearer. Interesting, isn't it? The modern perversions push that Lucifer, the light, and everything else like that. They try to make that comparison between Christ and Lucifer and everything else. You know, there's a school that I found out there out when I was doing some study and some research. They're called the Servants of the Light School of Occult Science.
Really?
Yeah, it's a modern Western mystery school which teaches through correspondence. The curriculum deals with so-called esoteric sciences, which are the Western equivalent of the Eastern yoga systems.
It must be in hell.
Yeah. Everything. Everything weird's in California, brother.
No doubt.
The Western system is just as effective and noble as the Eastern system, as they both lead to the same ultimate goal: integration of the psyche and soul and direct knowledge of the spiritual realities which underlie manifestation. Another term which covers both paths is the way of unification.
You know, I want to share something with you.
Sure.
You know, I on the show, maybe a month ago, I talked about, what had taken place with me with psychedelic drugs and playing in rock and roll band and this, that, and the other. I gave my testimony, but, you know, I talked about a fellow that I was in a rock and roll band with, a guitar player who tried to have me possessed. And, he actually did some kind of incantation to have some spirit jump on me, some demonic spirit. And it was quite an ordeal, and I praise God that he kept me safe through that. But, you know, not long after all that happened, well, about a week after that all happened, God got a hold of me. And God, you know, I surrendered at that point. I was running from God. And I surrendered and I yielded myself to him to do whatever he wanted me to do with my life. And it was right after that I accepted the call to preach. I surrendered. And, but that same guy, that guitar player, he showed up at my door one day. And, he asked me how I was doing. And we talked for a few minutes and I tried to witness to him He talked his way out of trying, you know, me trying to deal with him at all. And he asked me what I was going to do with all my, I had a box that had all my rock and roll CDs in them, and I was going to get rid of them. And he said, what are you doing with all these? I said, well, I'm getting rid of them. And I remember him holding up a Jimi Hendrix CD. He said, you ain't got room for Jimi Hendrix in your world? And I said, no, I don't. He said, don't you understand? He said, it's like we're sitting on different sides of the room, but we're looking at the same thing. He meant, I'm looking at Jesus and he's looking at something else. He said, we're sitting on different sides of the room, but we're looking at the same thing. And that's exactly what the world's religions want you to believe. That all roads lead to God, but they don't. You know, I remember a preacher saying this, and I'll not name the preacher so that nobody has a bias on this, but I'll just tell the story. There was a preacher that I listened to a story years ago, and he worked at the post office. And when he got to the post office that morning, he was talking with a woman that worked there, and he was trying to witness to her, telling her that she needed Christ, and she said to him, she said, don't you know, she said, She said, when you came to work this morning, she said, how did you get here? And he told her the street that he went down. And she said, well, when I came into work this morning, I went down such and such street. And old Larry over here, he came down Main Street. And old Joe over there, he came down, another street. And she said, but we all got here, didn't we? She said, and you keep pushing Jesus as the only way. She said, but there's many ways to God. And he looked at her and he said, that sounds real good, but when you die, you're not going to the post office.
Mm.
And, you can believe all these strange, far out ways to get to God, folks, but I'm telling you, there's only one way. And the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name given, no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no other road, there is no other way that will lead you to heaven. Christ is the only way.
Amen. You know, and that's really what it's all about, brother. That's what it's all about, that about Jesus Christ. It's about the truth. And
amen. If there was somebody out there tonight listening to us, maybe out of curiosity, let me tell you something. We were all lost in our sins at one time. there was not a single one of us on the radio tonight or listening out there who's not been lost in sin, and some of you still are, and you're lost because of your sins, and you owe a sin debt to God. You are guilty before Almighty God. You've broken His laws. It doesn't matter about what man's laws you've broken. You've broken God's laws, and God's going to judge you. Either He's going to put your judgment on Christ, and your judgment will be borne by Christ and what He did for you on Calvary's hill. Either the blood of the innocent, perfect, spotless sacrifice, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, pays the debt for you, or you'll pay the debt of your own sins, and you'll burn in hell for all eternity. There's no other way. And the only way you can come is by understanding by the light of the Holy Ghost, and that's the only light you need, is the light of the Holy Ghost shining upon your sins and showing you how lost you are and giving you the knowledge of your lost condition. And when you understand that, when God shows you that, when He reproves you, when He convicts you, and you turn from your sin and fall at the cross of Calvary, fall before the Lord Jesus Christ and call upon Him to save you from your sin, then and only then will you have eternal life. Then and only then will you be born from above, born again, and fit for heaven.
Amen. And you know, that's the light that's being offered from Satan. It's a light that leads to death. Look, Eve was offered it. Hey, Eve, you're going to have this knowledge, this light. You're going to have this knowledge of good and evil, and you're going to be as gods. And it was a lie. It was a lie from the pit of hell. And
amen.
Look what it's cost. Look what it's costed. It's costed all of man because of that that lie that was embraced and held to and believed. We've got to shun that.
Right, and people still just cling to it even today. They yearn for it. That same light that led to all this darkness.
I'll tell you that this world is a dark place. It is a dark world that we live in today. But you know, we have the light of the world. If you're saved, if you're a child of God, you have the true light. And you need to share it that what's being pushed today is not by these New Agers is not what the Bible says. It's what Satan offers. But Satan's light leads to death. It doesn't lead to life everlasting, it leads to death.
Amen. It's a road of destruction. It's a road of damnation. And folks, I'm telling you, if God shines the light of His truth in your heart, don't you dare shut that light out. Don't you dare tell Him no. He may never come knocking again. Oh, if you're under conviction tonight, if you're under conviction, please let God have His way. Let Him work in you. Let Him show you His truth. There's only one way to be saved, and you've got to believe what the Word of God says. Listen, don't listen to any other voice out there. You listen to what God says.
Jesus said for the Christian, too, the man that gets born again by the Spirit of God, He says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin.
Praise God. All. A-L-L.
Amen. All of it. All of it. And that's how, you know, forgiveness of sins only comes through Jesus Christ. It comes through that. We must realize and folks must realize that the light and the knowledge and everything, you know, men are puffed up with knowledge today and light. And if you look at the New Agers and the New World Order and these high-level families that are out there that are very wealthy and everything, you know, they work on this plane of understanding that they have more light and they're the enlightened ones and they understand everything better than you do. And they know what's best and they're the elite out there. They have that light that you don't have. But that's a lie. They have a light, but it's from Satan.
Sure. Yeah, your Tom Cruises and John Travolta's and Will Smith's of this world who believe they're Scientology garbage.
Right.
Yeah, they wouldn't think of it.
That's right. And that was founded by L. Ron Hubbard, I believe, who was connected
right
with Alice Crowley.
Right.
You know, Aleister Crowley, the Satanist, Aleister Crowley, the cultist, the man that has influenced more people in Hollywood and in American pop culture than any man ever.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely right.
I mean, he said he wasn't happy. He wanted to be the devil's main servant. He wanted to be his right-hand man. He called himself the Beast.
Mm-hmm. What was that his wife told him? He was in Egypt, and Horus was calling to him. She told him to go to him.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Yes, that's the most wicked man probably that has ever lived up to this point. I don't know. He and Albert Pike run a pretty tight race.
Yeah, that's true. He did say that he was the wickedest. He was coined the phrase that he was the wickedest man in the world. What did he follow? He followed the light of the esoteric religions. He followed the light of Lucifer. He followed the theosophical type cultists. The Masonic type. He was a Mason. He was all these esoteric things. This is not the light of Jesus Christ. These are the lights of the esoteric religions. Their light that they're looking for is not the light found in the scriptures. They're looking for a knowledge from within that Satan gives. That's what they're looking for.
Right. That's
and,
right.
And there's a danger in that.
That's right. I mean, when you look at the people that followed after Crowley, I know you've studied enough to be able to comment on this. I mean, some of the people that have come after him and followed his teaching, I mean, you certainly can look at Timothy Leary. Timothy Leary was one. But, Ozzy Osbourne, the devotee of Aleister Crowley.
Mm-hmm.
But, give us some others, brother.
Well, I mean, you have the major rock stars. You have the Beatles. The Beatles were followers of Aleister Crowley as well, and that same light and knowledge that he offered. I mean, the Beatles if you look at Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts, I think it's called, if you look at that on the cover of it, you see all the people that influenced them, and Aleister Crowley is on there.
That's right.
Mm.
Amen.
That's the light. They said they wanted to destroy Jesus. They said they were going to be more popular than Jesus.
Right. That's exactly right, brother. That's exactly right. That's where they come to that realization after they went. I mean, of course, they were lost to begin with. But when they went seeking after that light, you remember they made their little jaunt down into India and studied with Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. After that, they went seeking after that light, brother. And that's after they came back from that quest. That's when John Lennon made that statement, if I'm not mistaken.
Hmm. Yeah, these people were all cultic, and the light that they followed was something. I mean, if you listen to just the lyrics of men like From the Doors and men like that, Jim Morrison and those kind of men.
Oh, yeah, he was a follower.
They talked about the light, that door. What was he talking about, the door? Well, that's something we don't have time to get into, but, I mean, it's all occultic. It's all the light that they followed. That's the light of Lucifer that they were all following. And when you get into the, I mean, Carlos, what's his name, Carlos?
Santana.
Same thing, followed demons and lights. And, you beware of people who say they died, and, I died and went to heaven, I saw a bright light. Well, let me tell you something, friend. I don't know what light you saw, but I have a feeling that light you could have seen is something that the one that comes as the angel of light showed you.
That's right.
I had people tell me they were saved because they died and they were on an operating table and stuff like that, and they died in an accident or something, and they saw a light and came back, and that was God saving them.
I read a really good book many years ago, and I'm not sure who wrote it, but I'd advise anybody that get their hands on it, check it out. I'm not sure if they quote King James scripture in the book, but the book itself was really good. It was called The Light That Was Dark, and it was written by a man who came out of the new age religion, The Light That Was Dark. Very, very eye-opening look into that whole world of new age religions. If you get a chance, get your hands on it, check it out.
Mm. Yeah, that would be interesting for sure.
But, you know, when I first came out of that whole world, when I first came out of rock and roll and all that, I had been steeped in that stuff, having been in the band with that guy. And he was very much into that Yaqui Indian sorcery and Brother, I got a bird's eye view of what that world's really like, and it's terrifying. I'm telling you, people go and they go seeking it, and then before they know it, they're lured into it, thinking that they're going to attain some knowledge, and what they do is they get swallowed up in it, and it overwhelms them, and it takes over their life. Because he's a devourer. Satan will devour you. That's what the Bible says. You know, he's a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That word devour means to swallow up, and that's exactly what he's going to do if you give him a chance. Brother, we're about out of time tonight.
Yes, we are. You take us out, brother.
Well, I'm not sure how much longer we got, but I do want to say tonight that, folks, the Word of God is the only light you need. Get in your Bible. Nourish yourself on the Word of God. God put it there to feed your thirsty soul. For Brother Jason Cooley, I'm Brother Brandon Teague. And we're thankful you tuned in tonight. We urge you to tune in every Thursday night, normally at 7 p.m., right here on the Old Paths broadcast. Let God be true, but every man a liar. We'll see you next week.